Tesvavam and Aleph, about a little bit more than halfway down the Amud, Vesuleka. And the Gemara is asking, Rav Huna had said that Shammai and Hillel were arguing, debating in three different issues. Aren't there more issues? Why, Ika, don't we have a machlokes between Hillel and Shammai with regard to the case of a person, a yachid, who brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's Yontif, and he has to do smicha, because the Torah tells us in Olas Nedova, that's at the beginning of Vayikra, V'samach Yado al Rosh HaOlah, and in Parsha Shalmei Nedova, we have V'samach Yado al Rosh Korbano, and the Chazal Darshan at the beginning of Masecht Beitza, actually a little bit later on Daf Chof, that somebody brings an Olas Chova, was shlomim for a chova, even though it's not an adova, he's chayv in smich. He has to be somech yadov on the animal's head. And now it is yantif. So let's say we have a carbon chova, where there's no such thing as a carbon adova on yantif, and Beis Shammai are going to be of the opinion that you don't even bring an olas chova on yantif. But in any event, leave that out. We're talking about shalmei chova. Everybody agrees that we bring shalmei chova on yantif, and that's explicit in the Mishnah in Beitz on Daf Yutes. And with regard to these karbonos, which are chova, we have a requirement of smicha. So what happens in this conflict between smicha and yantif? We don't do smicha. Forget about the mitzvah of karma, but in and of itself, we're not somech, we don't lean on an animal on yantif. What do? In the case of a mitzvah, we could say hutra, yet the Torah was matir, you're allowed to bring these karbanos, they're karbanos chova, and as part of that mitzvah you do smicha, and that's going to be a requirement on yantif as well. Or shall we say no? So if you take a look, Hillel says that if a person brings a korban on yantif, then he should be somech lismoch on his korban. In other words, when the Chachamim prohibited the iser of bimishtamish bebalichayim biyantif, they didn't include, which by the way is a gzeres Chachamim in Masecht Beitza on Daf Lamed Vavam and Beis, and the koach, the authority of the Chacham is to be Oker a mitzvah in a Torah b'sheve al tasa. So if they formulated this Isur of Asur l'shtamish b'alichayim on Yontif, they could theoretically, and that's going to be Shammai's view, they could be Oker the mitzvah of smicha. And the sheet of Hillel here is that no, that far they didn't go with the Gzeir. Shammai Omer, according to Shammai, they extended that Gzeirah and applied it even within the context of the mitzvah of smicha al rosh hakorban on yontif. Shalo lismoch, we shouldn't be somech. That's the isur d'rabbanan, not to be somech on bali chayim. We don't ride animals on yontif, we don't lean on them, we don't put things on top of them, to dry our clothes, nothing. We don't get any shimush out of behemos, out of bali chayim on yontif. And that's going to extend to include smicha as well. And this is the shvus of the chachamim, and this shvus applies even in the case of a korban. So in any event, the bottom line is, how can Rav Huna say that there's only a machlok between Shammai and Hillel in three cases? Here's a fourth case. And the Gemara answers, Ki koma Rav Huna. What Rav Huna meant when he said that there are only three cases in which there's a machlok, that's Hecha Deleka Plukta Deravosa Behadaihu. That it's not an ancient machlokas that predates Hillel and Shammai, it's an original machlokas, but in a case where we'll call it the Rabbi Seim Arishonim, the earlier rabbis, and there were rabbis even before Hillel and Shammai, if they had a machlokas about this very issue, that wasn't included in the statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is only talking about the original machlokas in between Hillel and Shammai. But if the Kfar Nechleku, there was already debate about this issue amongst the Rabboseinu Harishonim before Hillel and Shammai. For example, at the time of Yosef ben Yoezer, who had a machlokas with Yosef ben Yochanan, and the Nesiim and the Avos Bati Dinim that came in the generation after Yosef ben Yoezer, all these came before Hillel and Shammai, and the Mishnah Masechta Megillah and Daf Tes Zayin already records that there was this debate about smicha on Yontif. So that's not included within the context of Rav Huna's statement about the number 3 that maxes out. By the way, there's a very interesting sugya in Beitza on Daf Yud Tes about the possibility of doing the smicha on the korban before Yontif, right before the shechita, and then the shechita is on Yontif itself. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in Beitza, that the machlokas really revolves around the issue of tekef l'smicha shechita, that you have to be masmich l'smicha to the shechita. And according to the opinion of Beit Shammai, you don't have to be masmich, and therefore you can do the smicha on Erev Yontif, even though the akrova will take place on Yontif. Beis Hillel says no, you have to have a tekef, you have to have a smichus, it has to be close in time, and he won't be able to be somech on Erev Yontif, he'll have to be somech on the korban on Yontif itself, right before the shechita. There's another shechita there in Beitza, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. He says that the machlok shechin Beis Hillel Beit Shammai revolves around the case of Shalmei Chova. We know about smicha in the Torah in Shalmei Nedova. In two places the Torah requires that, but the Torah never required, at least not explicitly, smicha on Shalmei Chova. Beit Shammai holds there's no smicha on Shalmei Chova, and Beis Hillel holds there is a smicha even on Shalmei Chova. So that machlok is not really a machlok, it's about Yontif and whether the Shavuos applies on Yontif. It's a general issue about whether there is smicha on Shalmei Chova. Now the Yushalmi tells us in Chagiga, the second parak, that originally there were no machlokas in Yisrael. And that meant that any time an issue came up in halacha, doubt as to what the halacha was, they would be omed leminyan, they would paskin the halacha based on rov of Chachmi Sanhedrin, and that was how they determined the final halacha. The only exception to that rule was this question about smicha, because as we said earlier, that was an ancient machlokas between the Nesiim, between the Avos Batei Dinim, and it wasn't until Shammai and Hillel that there was a machlokas on 4 different issues, which is not like our Rav Huna says there's a machlokas on 3 issues. But later on in the next generation, we get to the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, what we call Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and about that generation, the Yerushalmi claims Lo Shimshu Es Rabboseim called Sarkam, and therefore Rabu Machlokes B'Yisrael. Many Machlokeses broke out in Klal Yisrael. Al Gemara again, in the name of Hunas, insists that Lo Nechleku Shammai V'Hillel Ela B'Sholosh Machlokos Bilvad. So the Gemara says, Va'ika, isn't there a Machlokes between Shammai and Hillel regarding Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma, in the case of Botzer L'Gas? Now, what happens is that he is harvesting his grapes, and he puts them, after the harvest, which is called Betzira, into certain kinds of receptacles. And that's the last stage before what we call the gas. Gas means the dricha begas, that you convert the grapes into wine through a process of stepping on the grapes. And now the halacha is the following: what is the status of some of the wine that comes out of these grapes even before the official process of Gat. And the issue is about Mashkim HaMachshirim LeKabel Tumah. Because a foodstuff that's dry is not Mekabel Tumah from any Dovra Tomeh until it's Mukhshir LeKabel Tumah. And that means that one of seven different mashkim, one of those seven would fall or be poured onto an ochel. And if you look in Masechet Machshirim, the sixth perek, which is a drasha based on a drasha of Chazal brought down in Chulin, the pasuk says, "Mikol ochel asher yochel asher yovol of mayim yitma." So it's ochel shebava mayim, it's huchshol lekabel tumah, and there are seven mashkim that are machshirim lekabel tumah. One of them is yayin. Now Shammai is going to say that on a doraisa level, I admit that this yayin that we're talking about, which is called habotzer legat, is not wine in the strict sense. And it's not roi lahachshir, it doesn't play the role, doesn't have the status of a machshir. Because generally speaking, we can assume that this wine is what's called holech le'ibud. It's sort of like collects in these, I don't know what to call, solid baskets, and then some of this wine spills out and it ends up on the ground. And therefore, a mashke that's yotzim in a zesim in a novim is not nechshav mashkel in yintuma until it is removed from the zayis or from the anav b'rotzon abaylim. This yayin that we're talking about is holech le'ibud. It's going to get lost, which indicates clearly that the owner is not makpid, he's really mafkirit, and any wine that comes out is not mirtzono, it's not something that he wants. So that's on a deraisa level. However, Shammai says that about these anovim in the sal, and there's a certain amount of wine that collects in the bottom of the sal, which make a gzera that it should be machshir, it should qualify as a machshir, as one of the machshirim, as yayin lekabel tumah. And that's a gzera because of the case of what's called bitzira bekupos hamachupos bezefes. There are special kupos, they're insulated, they're lined with zephes, with a pitch or tar. So that layer of tar inside the lining of these kupos, they make these kupos very strong in such a way that the yain is not nishpach mehem la'aretz. In other words, it's not holichli, but he wants this wine, he will collect this wine, and that wine therefore is a genuine machshir lekabel tumah. And that's going to be machshir the anovim, first of all, because the anovim are soaking in this wine. And then if there's some contact with the dovra metame, there will be mekabel tumah. And the sheet of Shammai is to make exera to extend it even to a case of yayin that's holech le'ibud, which is called in this brice that we're studying, abotzer legat. And the purpose of Botzer Legat is that his intention is to take these grapes and bring them into this winery, you know, to make in the press, I guess you'd call it, to press out the wine from these grapes. So he really wants the wine. But this wine that is spilling over, that's in the sal, that's going with Ibud, that for sure he's not interested in that wine. It's holich li'ibud, and that's not called rotzon bailim. It doesn't have chashivas. That's on a deraisa level. But the shita of Shammai is that the rabbanon considered as a hechshar as yayin lekabel tumah. Hilo melo hechshar, huchshar. These are novim, are not mukshom lekabel tumah with this yayin because he doesn't want this yayin, and it's not yotzei min anovim b'rotzon bailim. It's nishpach la'aretz holich li'ibud. And therefore doesn't have the status of a mashke as far as contracting tumah is concerned. It's not machshir ochlum lekabel tumah. So we have here another case of a machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. In addition to the three machlokas that we spoke about in yesterday's discussion, And this is a kasha on Rav Huna, who says that the number of machlokas in seals roofs out at three. So the Gemara answers that Rav Huna, when he calculated these three machlokas, is bar minei dahi. He had in mind to exclude in his counting botza legas. He didn't want to count botza legas. Why? The hasam in that machlokas koshosik le hilel l'shamai. When Shammai presented his thesis as to why midrabanu we should upgrade the status of this yayin to a machshel lekabel tuma, Hillel, as a response, was shosek. He was silent, which means that shtika koda dami, that Hillel accepted the view of Shammai, as we would say, hushvu Vilonis Kaima Machlokes Zu. And therefore Rav Huna left it out in his counting of the three, because those three were Machlokos She Miskaimos. They were debates that continued along the line. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa that we mentioned on Yudalit Amud Beis and tries to explain the Braisa. Yosi ben Yoezer Ish Tsredo, Yosi ben Yochanan Ish Yushalayim, Gazru Tuma al Eretz Ha'amim, V'al Klei Zchuchis. So we're going back to a period of time in Jewish history called the period of the Dor of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. They, according to the record presented by the Braisa, they instituted a Tuma al Eretz Amim. And as we mentioned yesterday, the Tuma of Eretz Amim is based on Kivrei Goyim. There's always a suffix that maybe anywhere and everywhere the Goyim may have buried their dead. And that's going to be Metameh B'tumas Oel. And therefore the Gzeirah was that if you're in Chutz Laaretz, no matter where you are, and we'll see a case where Truma comes in contact with Chutz Laaretz, then there's a Kabbalas Tuma Midivreya, because we're afraid that maybe there's a dead that's buried there. The Goyim were very careless about where they buried in those days. And we mentioned also the Rambam Shitas that maybe Noshim Mizanos, and they want to conceal the fact that they had this little baby, and the baby died during the pregnancy period. Anyway, this would possibly be Kivrei Goyim, which are Metameh in Maga, Masa, and Ohel, according to the Chachomim in Masechta Yevamos. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai is of the opinion that they're not mitame b'oel, but they are mitame b'maga uvemasa. Now, the Gemara asks the following. We'll get back to Kli Schuchis in a few minutes, but first we want to ask a question on Tumas Eretz Amamin. Is it true that this Gzera of Tumas Eretz Amim dates back to Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan? Vaha Rabbanan Dishmonim Shana Gazur Tumas Eretz Amim. This is a different period of Jewish history, not the period of time of Yossi and Yossi. The Omer of Kahana, Kshechola Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Sholchulo, the Chachamim sent a message to ask a question of Rabbi Yishmael, who is the son of Rabbi Yossi, and they addressed him as Rabbi. Okay, so this leads to another possible girsa that we're talking about Rabbi Udanossi, and he sent this message to Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, Emor lanu shnayim u'shlosha dvarim shamarta mishum avicha. Tell us over two or three laws that you heard from your father, Rabbi Yossi. Sholach lehem, Rabbi Shmuel sends back to the Chacham, kach omar abba. This is what I heard from my father, Rabbi Yossi. Mea u'shlmonim shana ad shalo charav habayis. The persecution of the Jewish people under the Romans began 180 years before the actual Churban Habayis. Pashta Malchus Romi Arsha al Yisrael. And that takes a span of 180 years. Shmonim Shonat Shalochar of Habayis, in the last 80 years before the Churban Habayis, Gazru Tuma al Eretz Amimim v'al Kleis Chuchis. And then he adds that Arboim Shona Ad Shalochar v'Habayis Golsalah Sanhedrin v'yoshvala b'chanuyos. Okay, we'll have a discussion about that later, that Sanhedrin relocated from the Lishkas HaGozis in the Migdash to a place called Chanuyos, which was in Yerushalayim. But what we're interested in is the fact that already 80 years before the Churban HaBayis, they had already instituted a gzera of Tumas Eretz Amamin. And if that be the case, we don't understand how to reconcile that with the fact that, according to Abraisa, it was Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan who instituted this gzera of Tuma on Eretz Amamin. Now, it's important that we emphasize that the premise of this sugya is that Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan predated this period of time, which is described by Rabbi Shmuel, the name of his father, as 80 years before the Churban HaBayis. Yosi and Yosi are way before that. So it's very strange, and that's the Gemara's question here, that according to the transmission of Rabbi Shmuel, it wasn't until this later period of time, of the last 80 years of Bais Sheni, when they instituted the Gzeirah of Tumas Eretz Amamin, when our Brisa says that it was Yosef ben Yoezer earlier than that period of time, together with Yosef ben Yochanan, that they instituted this Gzeirah of Tumas Eretz Amamin. Now, how do we know that Yosef ben Ish Tzreda and Yosef ben Yochanan were before this 80-year period, that they predated it, which is the premise of our Gemara? And that's based on the Mishnah, not one Mishnah, but many Mishnahs in the first parak of Amos. Because we learn that Yoshua ben Prachya and Natai Harbeli were Talmidim of Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan. So that the next generation after the two Yosis is that generation. Now that generation of Yeshua and Nosan Arbeli, they are the generation that precede Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, who are the Talmidim of Yoshua ben Prachya and Nitai Harbeli. Shmaya v'Avtalion were Talmidim of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, and Hillel and Shammai were Talmidim of Shmaya v'Avtalion. So we definitely see that if Yoshua ben Prachya and Nataya are Beli are Talmidim of Yosi ben Yoez and Yosi ben Yochanan, that Yosi and Yosi were much earlier, because we have this generation of Yoshua ben Prachya, and then we get to the next generation of Yudah ben Tabai and Shim ben Shetach, and then finally to the generation of Shmai v'Avtalion, who are the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai. So the bottom line is there are four generations here before the generation of the last 80-year period leading up to the Churban, meaning a generation about, let's say, Hillel's time. Anyway, there are four generations until we get from Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan to Hillel. And now the Bryce is saying is that already as early as this period of time, Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, they were ready to institute this enactment, this gzera of Tumas Eretz Amamin. So how do we square that with the transmission of Rabbi Shmuel that this injunction, this gzera, only took place in that last period of time, 80-year period of time before the Churban, which is way after Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan? The Gemara first takes a little break and says, "Lamai hilchasa." To Lagabi, which halacha does it make any difference as to the last part of this price, or the last part of the testimony of Rabbi Shmuel? They the Sanhedrin relocated from the Lishkas HaGozis to the place called Chanuyos. And the Gemara answers, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi Lomar Shalodanu Dinei Knossos, that they terminated Dinei Knossos because once they left Lishkas HaGozis, they can no longer judge Dinei Knossos. Now, Dinei Knossos, for example, would include Chamishim Kesef in Ma'anes and Mefata in the case of Nair Besula, and that's called Tashlum Kotsuv. Anything that's some sort of a compensation or payment that is set and doesn't change, that is called a Knas. There's also the Motzi Shemra case, Meir Kesef. There's also the case of Shloshim Shel Eved. There's Shortam. According to one opinion, that's called a Knas. There's a Ganav who pays Kefel Dalid Vehei. All these cases are cases of Knas. And for Bezin to judge an adjudication on Knas, we require Lishkas HaGozis, that Sanhedrin be in the Lishkas HaGozis. Now, the Gemara is going to attack this statement here, if we take Kipshuto, that by relocating the Sanhedrin to Chanuyos from the Lishkas HaGozis, they would no longer be able to judge cases of Knas and force people to pay Knas. So Gemara says, Dine Knosa Salkedaitach? Does the thought cross your mind that there's no Dine Knossos unless the Sanhedrin HaGadol is sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis, and therefore they left, when they left the Lishkas HaGozis and they sat in Chanuyos, there would be no possibility of Dine Knossos? That's not true. It really, this is an untenable position, that ain't done in Dini Knossos if Sanhedrin is outside of Lishkas HaGozis. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, as the Gemara tells us in a few places in Shas, gave smicha to five of the Chachmei Yisrael. And the reason for that is, the Gemara tells us that his calculation, this Yehuda ben Bava, was shelo yevatlu Dini Knossos Israel. Now this Maisa takes place after Churban Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, and you see from this that again the fact that they would done Dini Knossos at the time of Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and his five Talmidim, you see that even after the Churban Habayis, they were done Dini Knossos. So you see that Dini Knossos does not depend upon Lishkas HaGozis in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Ela Ema Shalodonu Dini Nefashos. We have to change the text in the Braisa. And we have to assume that by relocating themselves from Lishkas HaGozis to Chanuyos, the Sanhedrin made it impossible for them, for themselves, to be Dan Dinei Nefashos. But in any event, that's all a side point. What we're really interested in now is that the Braisa clarifies for us that the Gzeira of Tumon Eretz Amamin was enacted by the Chachamim, who were 80 years and more before the Churban Bayis Sheni. I should say 80 years and less before Churban Bayis Sheni, but not Yossi ben Yoez and Yossi ben Yochanan. Unless we're going to assume some sort of a build-up, you know, of a process in which Yossi and Yossi started the process, and then the Chachamim during that 80-year period, the four generations after Yossi, they were the ones who brought that Gezerah, upgraded it to a higher level, to a more chumradical level. So the Gemara says, "V'chi tema b'shmonim shana nami inu hafu." Now the Gemara takes a step back and asks a little about the history here. We've been assuming that Yosef ben Yoezer, Yosef ben Yochanan were before this 80-year period. But the Gemara is challenging that for a moment. Just prove that to me, because it could be possible that Yosef ben Yoezer, Yosef Yochanan were already there as late as this 80-year period before the Churban. And they made the Gezerah. Vasanya, and the answer is, says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa that, and now the Braisa is going to go through some of the great Kenim who traversed the period of Bayis of Bayis Sheni and its Churban, and they are Hillel, who we call Hillel Azaken, Reb Shimon Bino Shel Hillel, Shel Reb Hillel, Reb Gamliel, this is Reb Gamliel Azaken, who is the son of Rabbi Shimon, V'Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Beno, then that's Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Maise Biasar Ruge Malchus, Nogu Nisiusam Lifnei Abayis, Meyashana. So who do we have as on our list of Nisim before the Churban HaBayis? We've got Hillel HaZaken, we have Reb Shimon, the son of Hillel, we have Reb Gamliel, and we have Reb Shimon. Now that Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Gamliel, who's one of the Asar Gemachs. In any event, Nasu Nisiusam Lifnei HaBayis, Meyashana. So this period of time of Hillel and the four generations after Hillel, that's going to cover the last 100 years before the Churban HaBayis. So Hillel begins his Nisius 100 years before Churban HaBayis. He's knowing his Nisius for four Doros until the Churban HaBayis. But Ve'ilu Yosef ben Yoezer ish Tzreda Ve'Yosef ben Yochanan have a Kadmi Tuva. Yossi and Yossi were way before the 100-year period. They were four generations before Hillel. So we see clearly that these two greats, Yossi and Yossi, were not amongst the Chachamim who instituted the decree of Tumas Eretz Amamin. Lo hayu sham im ha-chachom she-gazru al eretz amim bishmonim shana she-kodem ha-churba. So now back to again our original stira. How could it be that the gzera on eretz amim was instituted by Yossi and Yossi? They were chachomim that were way before the 80 years kodem le-churba, and yet that was the group of the chachomim that instituted this gzera of tumas eretz amim. And that we saw from the testimony of Rabbi Shmuel, the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. And now we turn to Daf Tes Vavamid Beis. So the Gemara answers, Ela Osu Inu V'Gazara Gusha Lisrof V'Avira V'Lo Klum V'Asu Rabbanan D'Shmonim Shana V'Gazar Ar Alavira Litlos. So we have what we call a two-stage process in terms of this gzeirah of Tumas Eretz Amamin. At stage number one, which goes back as early as Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, they made a gzeirah on the gush, on a clump of earth that comes from Eretz Amamin. And once they declared Tumah on this gush, or on any gush of Ofer Eretz Amamin, therefore Lisrof, if Truma would either get in contact with this Gush Afar, or alternatively, if somebody comes in contact with the Gush Afar and then he comes in contact with Truma, so it's either Truma directly bimago with the Gush Afar, or it's the person who's the conduit in the middle, is in all these cases we will burn the truma. However, the avira, what happens if somebody is in the airspace of Eretz Amamin, but he's not located on the karka, he doesn't have contact with the gush afar of Eretz Ha'ivrim, of Eretz Amamin, I meant to say, is if he's not in contact directly with the gush, but rather with the avir, then he remains tame, or the truma remains truma tahora. It's not even what you'd call a suffik tuma. So Rashi in Masechet Erevin speaks about the following possibilities of avir without maga begush afar shel eretz amamim. He's got cases like shida, Merkeves Noshim, Agalasuya Bekufsa, I mean, various people who are traveling through the airspace of Chutz Laretz, but they don't actually come in direct contact with Gush Afar. And there's a Sugya Nazir, a Dafnan Nundalanum in Beis, that vacillates about the Gzeir of Tuma on Avir Eretz Amamim, where there ever was such a gzera. Our sugya here assumes that for sure there was a gzera on Eretz Amamim, on the avir of Eretz Amamim, and that gzera on the avir of Eretz Amamim was not instituted as early in the time period of Yossi and Yossi, but rather later on, Asur Rabbanim Dishmonim Shana, you know, those generations around Hillel's time. And they said they extended the original Gzeir of Eretz Amin from Gush to Avira, the airspace of Eretz Amin, like we mentioned before, the Shida and other scenarios. Now, in the case of the first round of the Gzeir, that's Yossi and Yossi at, on Gush, then if Truma comes in contact with this Gush Afar, then that's called a Tumas Vadai. And although, again, it's only a Tumas Derabbanan, but it's a Tumas Vadai, we know for sure that the Truma came into contact, and therefore we burn the Truma. There was not a Gzeira originally on Avira, but now the Chachamim of Shmonim Shana, they come with a Gzeira, instituting a Gzeira on Avira. However, it's not to upgrade Avira to the same status as Gush, but rather litlos. So let's understand. In the case of Gush, we burn the Truma. In the case of Avira, then the Avir of Eretz Amamin, if Truma goes into there, and there was no Nagi in the Karka, then in such cases, litlos. We take the Truma, and it's in this limbo state. And we're knowing like truma of suffik tuma. What do we do with truma that's suffik tame? We will not burn it because maybe it's not tame, so we cannot burn truma. Chas v'shalom, that's ibud truma. On the other hand, we're not going to allow you to eat it because it might be truma tamei, and there's an isur d'oraisa to eat truma tamei. So therefore, we cannot burn it because how could you burn truma, which may in fact is 50% chance that it's kosher, and therefore we have this difference here between gush and avir, whereas avir is being equated with suffek tuma, and suffek tuma is tolin. We can't burn it, but we can't eat it. It's in that middle stage. So the Gemara asks the kasha lemeimra de chada gzerta hava. L'sreifa, you want to tell me that there was one gzera, one single gzera, and it's immediately when they made the gzera of Tuma on Gush Afar of Eretz Amamin, they immediately instituted the gzera l'sreifa, that we burn the Truma that has contact with Gush Afra of Chutz Laretz. Ha'amar Ilfa, what are we going to do with the statement of Ilfa, who says the gzera on Yadayim, we're talking about Stam Yadayim, is Betchila Gzeirasa L'Sreifa. So Ilfa is singling out the gzera of what we call Stam Yadayim, that from the get-go, the original gzera was so extensive that you would burn the truma that came in contact with his Yadayim. But that was Yadayim who debetchilas gzeras l'sreifa midi achrinu lo. The implication here of Ilf is that that's the unique status of the gzera of Yadayim, that it went straight to, all the way across, you know, the finish line, the end zone of Tzreifa. But any other gzera of Tuma that could, as a Drabbanan, impact on Truma v'maga, that's only going to be Litlos, at least in the first stage. And Litlos means that we don't burn it, we don't eat it. Later on, they would extend that Xera to Sreif, but it always had to be a two-stage process. There would always be two Xeros. And therefore, we're in trouble with our attempt at reconciling who actually made the Xera of Tumas Eretz Amim. So we tried to suggest that, yes, Yossi ben Yoez, Yossi Yochanan made that gzera, but only on the Gush. And then, they, in that context, in that gzera, they went all the way straight to the finish line, Lisrof as a truma that comes in contact with Gush Afar. And they left Avira out, and now the Rabban of Shmonim Shonim came up to supplement and apply the gzera to Avir, but only Litlos. Again, all this makes sense because in the original Gzera, we're assuming back in the time of Yossi and Yossi, it was Lesreifa, but that's against Ilfa. Elo, so the Gemara now offers a different teretz, a different reconciliation, just putting the first one on the back burners. And that is Gozer Agusha Litlos, that the original Gzera at the time of Yossi and Yossi was Tlia for Gushof, for Avir lo klum. There was no Gzera on the Avir of Eretz Amin, in the case where they came in a Shida, etc. The Osir Rabbanan Dishmon, because of Agusha Lisrof, they took this Gzera of Yossi ben Yosef to the next level. As we said before, in the name of Ilfa, these Gzeras go, you know, stage by stage, and they went from stage one, which is Litlos, to stage number two, which is Lisrof. Avira Litlos. And the Rabbanan of Shmonim Shana instituted a Gzera of Avir Eretzamim Litlos. And this seems to be a perfect answer to reconcile those differences. But the Gemara is still not happy. Akati, we still have a kasha. How could it be that Yosef ben Yoez and Yosef ben Yochanan and the Rabbanan and Shmon and Shona, they made the Gzera together in the different stages on Tumas Eretz Amamin? Hare, Rakasher Hoysa Sanhedrin Be'usha. Now, Usha is a period of time which is after, a number of years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Gozer, that's when the Gzera Tumas Eretz Amim came in. You know, all we've been discussing is way before the Churban. In the case of Yossi and Yossi, that's way before the Churban. In the case of the Rabbonim of Shmonim Shona, that's 80 years before the Churban. Well, Usha is after the Churban. And we have a Mishnah in Taros in the fourth parak, Tisnan al Shisha Sveiko Sorfin Esa Truma. And there's going to be six Gzeros to Rabbonon, where the Gzera goes as far as to say that in a Suffolk Tuma will burn the Truma. Now, on this list of the six Sfeikos, we have the second one on the list is Ofer Habami Eretz Ha'amim, which means that on Ofer from Eretz Amimim, we are Misupok. Maybe there was a kever, a dead body that was mixed in there, got lost there, was buried there. And the Truma that comes in contact with Ofer Abami Eretz Am is considered Sofek Nitma to such an extent that we'll even burn it. Again, we'll go through the list of six in Mirtz Hashem. So that now we see clearly that Tumas Eretz Amim was instituted at a later period of time, subsequent to Churban Abayis, in a place called Usha. Now again, we have to understand the you know, the common denominator amongst these six cases of sfeikos, and why would we and how would we be able to go ahead and burn truma in a case of a sfeik? I mean, that's usually inappropriate. We would say tolin, and therefore we're left with this issue. When exactly was the takona of tumas eretz amamin? The Mishnah says al vaday magon will burn the truma on a vaday magon, meaning in all these six cases, if you definitely had a maga, is then we could burn the truma. And Rabbi Yossi is going to say that even on Sofik Mago, if it's in Rishus HaYochid, we apply the principle of Sofik to Rishus HaYochid and Sorfinus HaTrum. And the Chacham is going to say that in Rishus HaYochid it's with Tolin, which means Lo Ochlin Velo Sorfin, and Rishus HaRavim Tahorin, because Sofik to Rishus HaRavim is Sveik HaTar. But in any event, what we want to get to now is Ula's statement. The Omer Ula, Elu Shisha Sveikos, these Gzeros in the case of six sveikos to burn the truma of a magon is beusha skinu. They were enacted in usha. It means that when the Sanhedrin was in usha, this is after the churban habayis, that's when they instituted this gzera on gush ofer meretz amamin, and will burn truma that comes in contact with gush ofer meretz amamin. And this only took place when there was gola Sanhedrin leusha, many years after the Churban HaBayis. And this is against our teretz that we offered in the Gemara, that the Chacham of Shmonim Shana before the Churban, they were the ones who instituted this Gzera, or at least in the final stages of this Gzera. Ella, but rather, Osu Inu, Yosef ben Yoez and Yosef ben Yochanan began this process, but Gozer HaGusha, they made a Gzera on Gush Ofer Meretz Amamin Litlos, that if truma comes in contact with the gush ofer meretz amim with tolim, we don't eat it, we don't burn it. Va'avira v'lo klum, they didn't touch the avir of eretz amim. They gave the avir absolutely no status as far as tumah. Rabbanav v'yosu rabbanav d'shmonim shonav v'gozur idi v'idi litlos. They upgraded the avir of eretz amim to the level of litlos that we cannot eat it. And Asu Biusha, and the Chachmei Usha came along after the Churban, the Gozra Gusha, Lisrov, V'Avira, Kidakoi Koi. They instituted a Gzera of Lisrov, because again, what we're saying now is that Yosef ben Yoezer made a Gzera on Gusha Litlos, the Rabbanon of Shmonim Shana, Gozer al Idi ve'idi, meaning whether the Truma comes in contact with Gusha Ofer or it comes in contact with Avir of Eretz Amim, Litlos. So again, where Yossi ben Yoezer didn't have Litlos in the case of Avir Eretz Amim, he only had Litlos in the case of Gush Ofer, the Rabbanan of Shmonim Shana upgraded Avir to the same status as Gush Ofer, and in both cases it's Litlos. Now the Chachmei Usha come along and they take Gush Ofer and they upgrade it to the status of Lisrov. Avira Kidakoi Koi, the Avir remains with the law of Tlia, is Tolin Lo Ochlin Velo Sarf. So we're going to stop here on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, but we're going to have to go back to this Mishnah in Taros Perek Dalet Al Shisha Sveikos, just to go through the six Sveikos. So we've more or less completed our discussion about Gush Ofer in the three-stage process of the Gzera, but we do want to go back to explain that Mishnah in Masechta Taros and make a summary of all the dinim of the Sheish Sveikos, and when you do burn Truma, when you don't burn Truma, the difference between perhaps Suffolk, if you came in contact with one of these categories, and the issue of Rishus HaYom, Rishus HaRavim, and Rishus HaYoch.